live from the cadaver room in the basement of the Jerseyville, Illinois Public Library. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and all-too-dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, winner of the 1972 Public Speaking Medal for the Westwood Troopers 4-H Club, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, someone you don't want to mess with, Richard J. Ringhausen. And are you ready for this? Daredevil, marksman, sculptor, is there anything he doesn't do? The six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion. The winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. And a man who has just excited the world of professional alligator wrestling to announce that he is coming out of retirement to compete in an ESPN exclusive exhibition tag team alligator wrestling match with his partner, Mike Tyson. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yeah. Were you trying to stretch this out for the entire guitar solo here?
No, the entire guitar solo goes on forever. So I think...
Anytime this it plays on the radio, it does exactly what you're doing right now, fading in and out. But if you listen to this, it goes on.
Oh, it goes on and on.
On and on forever. And then when it gets to the end, it's like, you know, they have like these, you know, drum solos and then a little more guitar and then another drum solo and then a little more guitar. It's just like, yeah, I really think you should end it now.
Yeah, but if you ever have a guy who really likes to play lead guitar, you do this song,
that's his thing.
They just start playing and, you know, you're playing the rhythm, which just is the same thing over and over and over. And you're looking over at the guy and he's like in his own world. And you're like, I'm done.
Let's wrap it up here. Let's go. Turn around, look at the drummer with me.
Yeah, but lead guitar players love to hear themselves play.
But the problem with me is when I hear that particular song, all I can think about is killing a whole bunch of people in a church. And for those of you that think that that's all I really want to do, I'm talking about the movie The Kingsman.
Where some agent who's under mind control kills a whole bunch of people in a church.
Yeah, man, he kills them. Well, everybody's killing each other.
And they were bad people anyway.
Everybody's killing each other. He's just better at it.
Oh, yeah. I think one time I sat down and
counted how many people he
slow
killed.
Motion and counted how many people he killed. It was like 60 or 70. Something.
You know, that movie, The Kingsman, utilized some new form of camera work where, you know, it's like speed up, slow down type thing.
Oh,
know.
During that scene, you mean?
Yeah. That was some kind of film innovation right there.
It's pretty darn impressive.
I was impressed with it.
I was impressed too.
Enough so I'm talking about it right now and I haven't even seen the movie. Ages.
So coming out of retirement to fight with Mike Tyson, huh?
If I can get $20 million out of it, I'll do it. He got $20 million to get beat up.
It was just, and that was just a sham, wasn't it?
It was pretty slow motion on that too. I mean,
did you actually watch fight?
I watched parts of it.
There wasn't much fight, though, wasn't there?
Not really. I mean, and then when it got towards the end, you know, they're both, you know, like shaking hands with each other. And so,
oh,
you know,
that's, there's no.
I don't know if they were going to hand them, you know, each hand them a coffee or something. Or
they each handed them a bag Geritol. Of cash.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it was pretty weak. But at 58, you know, that's pretty good.
I grant you that.
I mean, I could still handle myself at my age now, which is beyond that.
How old was Muhammad Ali when he won the belt the fourth time?
He was 59. No, he was. I don't know.
He was pretty old, though.
He was getting pretty old.
I think he took it from the guy from St. Louis with bad teeth.
Spinks.
Leon. You beat Leon Spinks.
Was it Leon or Michael?
I think it was Leon.
Okay. Those Spinks boys, they were bad, man.
Yeah.
They were tough. They were raised, you know, south side, north side of St. Louis, probably.
At that time, probably south or the west side.
Yeah. Rough part of town.
Yeah.
Anyway you look at it.
Guess what I did recently?
Got a new hairpiece?
Aren't you funny? No. I wrestled a little alligator.
Oh, I saw that.
Wife and I decided to take a Everglades vacation. Vacation in the Everglades.
Yeah.
Which, have you ever been in the Everglades? It's like all swamp.
I'm aware of that.
So we decided to take a ride on a fan boat.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
How
cool.
How was that?
Well,
exhilarating?
I haven't got to that part yet.
Okay.
But as part of the gig, you get...
They let you drive it?
No. As part of the gig, they have an alligator farm at the end of it. And the alligator farm, imagine a 1950s tourist trap.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, to where it looks like nothing has been painted since the 1950s.
Perfect.
You know, concrete, just bare peeling paint concrete tanks with an alligator or giant crocodile. You know. And they have a show where they have an alligator wrestler.
Okay.
Who climbs it. He goes into this this cage. It's got a big alligator, and the alligator's down in the water in about 2 feet of water.
Alive.
Oh, yeah, he's alive. He must be like 50 years old. He's as old as Mike Tyson. The alligator.
Wait a minute. Okay.
The alligator. But it's like 15 feet of alligator.
Big gator.
Big gator. And this guy.
Make a lot of luggage.
This guy goes down there, grabs it by the tail, and drags it out of the water up onto the flat where people can see him.
Yeah.
And proceeds to sit on it, you know, pry
how,
its mouth.
How many
open.
People are at this show?
Yeah, there's probably 20 or 30, and they're okay. they're all sitting around just like a chicken wire cage around the whole thing and with benches around it that you can sit on or stand on or whatever. And that guy goes in and sits on top of this alligator, pries its mouth open, and sticks his head in it, just like a like in the circus.
Now, is he talking to you as he's doing this, or is there some narrator?
He's got a spiel that he's probably said 5,000 or 6,000 times.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't try this at home.
Yeah. Hey, kids, what he really likes is eating a little kid. He does that. But we at the end of it, they pull out, he says, we got some alligators here for anybody that wants to hold an alligator. Well, of course.
Were you pushing little kids aside to get to it?
Well, they had three sizes of alligator, the small one, the medium, and the large. I said, bring me the large alligator because the kids were lining up for the small one.
Right.
And when I say large, you know, it was...
as long as a yardstick.
Oh, every bit of that.
Yeah.
With tail probably close to 4 feet.
Yeah.
More alligator than
too,
you think.
Too big to fit in the tank of your toilet.
Yeah, it's bigger than the dachshund that I own.
Yeah, he's bigger than Captain Jack.
Yeah, although this was Captain Jack.
Oh, okay.
And they hand it to some person. They hold the thing, you know, and get their picture taken with it. And they hand it to the next person, you know. And you have to wonder whether it's even alive, you know, it's just
docile.
Yeah, it's not moving. And they hand the thing to me, and it must have just sensed that I was a professional alligator wrestler. Because it immediately starts, like, flailing around, you know, and whipping its tail and cocking its head back and forth, you know, to where it's all I can do to hold on to it. Now, its mouth is securely...
Velcroed shut, I saw that.
It's yeah, but it's just a rubber band around it, like a regular rubber band snapped around its mouth.
Okay.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, its mouth is closed, but it's just a rubber band.
They have no strength in opening. It's the downward motion, it's the closing motion where they have their strength.
I think that's true. Yeah. Because the guy who would pry its mouth open, he'd let go of the top of it, and it would just snap shut like a mousetrap, yeah.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
So, when you were done, did you get to eat it?
They would not let us kill it. There was no killing of alligators.
No killing. No, you couldn't give him the Crocodile Dundee routine where you jump on and just drive a big hunting knife down through its skull?
That's the way it should have been. That's the way he should have ended his show.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
bring in another.
They had the tanks with like one or two big ones in each one, but then they had an area fenced around a little pond that had like 50 or 60.
Yeah, that's where you're supposed to run across it and step on, use them as stepping stones.
Like
to run
Tennessee
right
Tuxedo or James Bond.
Yeah, either one.
Could have. They wouldn't let you in the pen with all of them, though.
Was that Live and Let Die?
I think so. So we ride an airboat. And, you know, the airboat holds about 6 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a lot bigger than the one on General Ben.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. You're pretty tight.
You're shoulder to shoulder, huh?
Yeah, those are some of the parts of it. I was on the upper bench with 2 well-sized humans. And I didn't have much bench space. And there's no seat belts or any sort of safety equipment at all.
All right.
Because
on your mind, it's like, I'm going to fly out of this seat and go through the fan.
And, you know, the guy who comes to run the boat, he's our driver.
Yeah.
Imagine.
He sits up high, though, right?
Huh?
He sits up high and operates
with
2 levers.
Yeah, he sits up high, and he runs it with like a joystick, like the hydroladder. Remember the hydroladder we used to have? It ran with a joystick.
I thought there was 2 handles.
He's got one that he mainly uses, and the other one's for emergencies.
Okay.
Now, imagine the guy that works for you, Patrick.
Yeah.
The guy looked like Patrick, only about a foot taller and skinnier.
Skinnier?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And he was a good old boy.
Yeah?
He's just full of beans, you know.
What was his name, Spider?
It could have been.
Okay.
So Spider, Spider's running the boat, you know, and he's telling, like, Spider.
Y'all wear headphones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He talks to you through headphones, because apparently the fan's just as noisy as it could be. And Spider, I don't have any...
Did he call y'all?
Yeah, kind of.
Did I ever tell you something I got called out for that?
No.
I was with my youngest daughter, Julia, and we were at this eating establishment here in Illinois. And here in Illinois, nobody says y'all.
No.
Right? But at the this lunch place we were going to, they had hired a new woman that was working there, and she's Southern. And she said, "Well, how are y'all?" And I turned to Julia and I said, "Well, how y'all?" And the woman says, "You can't y'all unless you're from the South."
Well, I'm a Northern yar.
Yeah. So I got called out.
Did you say, "We beat the South, we took it"? Oh. Say whatever we want from the South. So we're riding on the boat. It's a skeeter. Was a skeeter or spider?
Spider.
Spider. It's a spider. My bench doesn't have any seatbelts or harnesses.
You
on.
Brought this up.
Yeah.
Then get off.
That's kind of what he said. He said, "Oh," he said, "Everglades ain't more than a foot or two deep." I said, he said, "If you fall in, just stand up." I said, "But it's full of alligators." Well, not that full. But we did see alligators on the trip.
Hit any?
So Skeeter.
Every time you hit something, you hear a noise, well, you think, well, we're hitting a giant python. We're hitting an alligator.
So Skeeter. They've got trails through these mangrove forest.
Yeah.
And an area.
Is there a purpose for mangroves? Are they good for anything?
Not that I see. Okay. Apparently they just keep the place from Southern Florida from washing away. But they got these trails cut through them, and they're about as straight as a corkscrew or a pigtail. And Skeeter says, "Okay, everybody ready?" And he shoves that stick forward, and that fan boat jumped forward about 40 miles an hour, which doesn't seem all that fast if you're in a car. But if you're in a mangrove forest where it's just wide enough for a fan boat, and this guy just drives it like he's insane. You know, you're coming up on a curve, and he'll pull on the brake stick on it, and that fan boat would just slide sideways, and he'd time it just perfect to where it would slide sideways to where it could juice it again and jump her forward. And he did that over and over. It was a white knuckle fan boat ride.
And what is vomit like going through a fan boat blade?
You have to wonder.
Wow.
You know, and he's just hooting and hollering the whole time. You know, I finally ask him, I say, Spider, whenever you and the boys aren't working, do you take these fan boats out and race them? Do we? Every Friday night.
You were talking his language then.
He said, you know, it's not like you race them side by side. We race them timed.
Ah, well, yeah. Right.
But I said,
because if they were side by side, they'd be whipping each other, right?
Yeah, he said, so Spider, I said, so are all fan boats equal? Well, hell no, they're not. He says, this guy, just the main guy, he's got an airplane engine on his, and fast, man, is she fast.
Airplane engine, huh?
Yeah. I said, so how long?
What did he have, Volkswagen engine?
How long you been doing this, Spider? I've been pushing a fan boat since I was 12 years old. He says, you know, and it runs in our family. My granddaddy, he used to haul more marijuana into Southern Florida than anybody else you ever met. He said, and we learned to drive fan boat when I was
fast.
12 years old.
There you go.
He said, now that's illegal. We don't do that no more.
Mm.
And you get the strong feeling that Spider would
do it in a second.
That maybe Spider adds to his income.
Did it look like he's pretty prosperous, did it?
So I asked him, I said, so Spider, what about these pythons? Have you ever gone out python? Oh, yeah. He says, $100 for every python and an extra 20 for every foot beyond 15 or beyond 10 feet. He said, now I have killed a 14 foot one with my bare hands. That's Spider talking.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I killed a 15 foot one. He said, but I had to shoot it.
Which is illegal.
And he says, you want to see it? And he's got a little video on his phone that he passes around to everyone to show his giant snake that he killed. And he says, and I am quoting Spider directly now, he says, I killed that 14-foot one, and I called my wife and said, honey, we are going to Burger King tonight.
This guy doesn't get out of the swamp much, does he?
I don't think so. But he really enjoyed himself. And I got the feeling that if he could have flipped that fan boat over, it would have been the highlight of his day.
When you were out riding on this wild fan boat, you know, like, what was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Yeah, real close to that.
When you were out there, did you have a destination? Like, did he take you out into some swamp and there's a bar out there someplace to stop and have a drink?
No, he takes you out to a certain spot and says, okay, boys and girls, get your wallets out.
Okay.
Who wants to go back?
Got it.
Now, what they do, apparently there's a whole bunch of fan boat companies, you know, and every one of them's got a team of spiders driving their boats.
Right.
And they radio back and forth among themselves as to where they see, like, alligators.
Oh, okay.
So whenever they know there's an alligator that's up and active, you drive to where the alligator is. And we did do that. I mean, and saw alligators in the wild swimming around.
Spider using GPS, is he?
Spider knows his way. He says that when we break in a new guy, his job, we'll give him the map, and he's got to go out without no GPS, and he's got to run that route and bring that fan boat back. Well.
Did Spider's shirt have sleeves on it?
No.
No, okay.
No, it didn't.
I wouldn't have any respect for him if he did.
Didn't. He's just as happy as a clam.
Okay.
So that was my big Everglades adventure.
Now, from that point on, you want to be a fan boat driver, do you?
I would love to be a fan. I think driving a fan boat would be fantastic. If they had said, who wants to drive the fan boat, my hand would have shot up first. I would have popped back. And I think I would be a fantastic fan boat driver.
I could be a fan boat driver.
I think you could. and it'd be a blast. And if you and your buddies all had fan boats,
you'd race them.
You'd be out racing in fan boats, wouldn't you?
Heck yeah.
In between hauling marijuana into Southern Florida.
Right. You got to pay the bills.
You know, what he said, what he was saying was, you know, it's the thing that concerns us is this Amendment 3 to the Florida Constitution make marijuana legal. Well, ain't no business after that.
Man's got to have his priorities, right?
That's right. So Amendment 3 got voted down by the Union of Fanboat Drivers working at it.
There you go.
So there's that.
So, well, getting back to the Gator Farm, did they have a restaurant there?
With gator steaks?
Did they have a restaurant?
They had a snack bar.
Okay.
Where you could get gator on a stick.
You could?
Yeah, gator tail, a little piece of gator tail.
Did you try some?
No, I did not. But they say it's not bad. Gator steaks, they call it.
Could you get like souvenirs, like a wallet made out of gator skin?
Yeah.
What kind of souvenirs they have in a Gator Farm gift shop? Claws? Could you get a gator claw necklace?
1,000 different alligator heads in different sizes.
Right.
And a whole bunch of alligator feet. And about half of them were on the end of a long stick so you could scratch your back with
them. Yeah.
And then, as you said, alligator belts, a lot of alligator belts.
Right. How about alligator jewelry with like alligator claws or alligator teeth?
Yeah, you get that stuff too. Because apparently, alligators are not endangered at all.
I don't think there's any shortage of them.
No, they're like a pest. I think generally people in Southern Florida are like, get rid of an alligator? Happy days, man.
Yeah. Now, getting back to these snakes, did you see any of those?
I did not see any of those. You mean those big invasive species pythons?
Yeah.
I did not. But Florida, that what Skeeter or Spider said was the truth. I mean,
they have the snake roundups.
They have snake roundups, and the state of Florida will pay you to bring in a python.
But
like
they won't
bucks.
Let you shoot them. You can't go out and kill them with a gun.
You're supposed to kill them by
blunt force
or with your hands.
Yeah.
The guys apparently they take a great deal of pride in hand killing a python.
And how do you? What do you? They choke them? What do they do? How do they kill a python with your hands? Punch it to death? Or?
You got to choke it. You got to twist its head off somehow. I would think that would be a challenge. You know, a 15-foot snake is a big snake, and they're reticulated, aren't they? Don't they? Won't they wrap around you?
Yeah, they will wrap around you. I'm just trying to envision how to go about this. I mean, would you stand on its neck and try and break its neck by twisting it, or I don't...
You'd kind of stand on the backside of it and say, Larry, twist its head off!
Okay, yeah.
Moose, twist its head off!
I'm guessing that the majority of them are killed by gun, even though it's illegal.
Oh, I'd say that's 100% true.
Yeah. And then what do they do with them? They have to turn them into the state?
They take them to the Department of Wildlife, or...
They get to keep them?
Like the DNR.
Spider have one stretched out on his wall of his home?
DNR.
Dispose of them?
Dispose of them.
Huh.
Yeah, they take them. You don't get to keep them once you turn them in. You get your $100 and your extra 20 a foot.
See, I think it would there would be a lot more dead snakes if they were paying the bounty and then allowing the captor to sell the hide.
I think their thoughts are that if they paid the bounty, they would take it to another station and collect the bounty again.
Yeah, okay. But the state could then auction them off.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the state could do that, Florida. You know, they used to pay a bounty for...
groundhog ears?
Yeah, for groundhogs, yeah. And you'd bring them to the county clerk to get your bounty.
It was groundhogs and something else.
Yeah. And, but yeah, the county clerks did not want you to bring the
carcass,
whole dead groundhog in.
Right.
You just brought the ears in.
I understand that.
Like bring two ears stapled together, and they would keep the ears to show that you'd killed your groundhog. So that you'd only get one bounty per groundhog. But you had to bring both ears to get it. I like to think that someplace in the back storage room.
There's a box full of groundhog ears. Petrified groundhog ears somewhere.
Indeed. Got a commercial. You want to do a commercial?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here you go. Read this commercial.
Let's see here. What we got? Men, did Father's Day come and go without a single card? Did election season pass without receiving even one political flyer? Did you pack up your Christmas decorations without a single Christmas card? Do you routinely open your mailbox only to hear the empty echo of no mail? Well, your lonely days are over. Sign up for Dr. Ferd's Mail Enhancement Program. That's right, a simple monthly fee. Dr. Ferd will make you the most popular guy on the block. Discreetly wrapped with unlabeled brown paper, Dr. Ferd will mail you an empty box or envelope every day. No one will know, no one but you will know that they're empty. Imagine the envy of your neighbors when they see you bringing a big package into your house day after day. When that good-looking lady across the street sees that bursting mailbox with the red flag standing at attention, just give her a wink and say to yourself, thanks, Dr. Ferd. Dr. Ferd's mail enhancement. Dr. Ferd knows what he's doing. He's been taking care of the mail for over 30 years.
Yeah.
M-A-I-L. Very good. Very good indeed.
You don't know what to say after that one, do you?
Not really. A little bit disturbing. Yeah. But, you know, Brad's disturbing.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Did I tell you I cut my thumb?
Okay, folks, let me warm up to this by saying, I get a call from Alan saying, did you get my email with my pictures? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He says, you need to check your email. Check my email, and here's a picture of a nearly severed thumb.
Yeah.
You can take it from there.
Yeah, but, you know, I when you're a kid and you have an injury, you know, like stitches or a cast, it's almost like a badge of honor, you know?
Oh, yeah. When you go to school, you just can't wait for everybody to sign it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Or are you, if you were in school still and had a row of stitches, you're showing them off.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that maybe it's just me, but I think that never goes away.
I think you're probably right.
You know, you survive a good cut like that.
It doesn't go away for you, obviously.
Yeah, if you survive a good cut like that, and man, you got to show it off a little bit.
So how did you come to lose your thumb?
Well, I was working on a project, and I was using an angle grinder, you know, like your handheld angle grinder with those little, real thin blades, cuts through metal.
Yeah.
And I was cutting through metal, and I was holding this big metal object, to where I was holding it with my left hand and cutting with the right hand. And as I'm cutting with the angle grinder, it like kind of wedges and then kicks out real fast. And when it kicked out, it kicked right across my thumb, and at first I thought, shoot, I'd cut it off.
Cut
and I
was my like, thumb
oh,
off.
No, it's still there. But it was bloody as could be.
Did it bleed? That was my next question.
Oh, man, did it.
Did it bleed?
Immediately. I mean, just blood running everywhere. It was incredible. And I'm thinking, you know, the volume of blood alone is telling me stitches, you know.
Well, here's the thing.
But it didn't just like cut a slice, you know, like if you did it with, like, with a knife blade or a razor blade or something like that. It was a grinder where it just ground a groove, like a quarter inch groove right out of my thumb.
I'm surprised they could stitch that, to be honest.
They had to stitch it for a while. They had to pull it together. He's really tugging at it.
I bet that was a fun-filled life experience.
It was interesting. You know, the doctor comes in, he's looking at it, and he, you know, like spreads it open real wide so that he can see if the bone is damaged or, you know, if it's severed or whatever. He said, well, he said, you nicked it. He said, but no real damage. He said, I don't see any nerve damage in there. He said, can you move it? He said, well, then let's sew it up. And he, to get it to where he could sew it, he takes a syringe and sticks the needle into the cut and just starts, you know, giving a whole bunch of shots in different directions.
Uh-huh.
And then, but he still had a little juice left in the syringe. So he just shoots it, you know, sprays it onto the cut. He says, just for good measure. And then he just starts sewing it up. It's an interesting thing to watch
your
someone sew your
body
skin back together. It's a weird thing.
I usually don't watch that when it happens.
But what was weird is when the blade cut through there, you know, because it's one of those super high-speed blades, it, like, burned the edges of the...
cauterized it.
It did not cauterize it completely. I mean, the part where the edge of the blade went through was bleeding like crazy. But the sides of it, it kind of cauterized and burned them.
Yeah.
And he said, that's not going to go away. He said, you're going to have a tattoo out of this deal. A burned-in tattoo. I said,
It's like those guys that tattoo a ring on their finger.
They do that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. You must hang out in different places than I do.
Talking about that blood, here's the story with the blood. You said it bled
Rick, we don't have time for a big bloody story.
We got time for a little bloody story. The blood, the reason you bled so bad is because at your age when they put you on blood thinners.
I'm not on blood thinner.
Oh, yeah, you are. Every time you get cut, you just bleed a lot.
I am not on blood thinner.
Do you remember when the old man at work for us, Other?
Oh, he'd get cut just a tiny nick and just blood everywhere.
You know, he'd be picking apples all day, which involves, you know, getting nicked by branches and stuff
something.
Like that.
Yeah.
He'd come in at the end of the day, he's on blood thinner, have a bunch of nicks and cuts on his arm, just blood dripping down both arms.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want him in the vehicle with me.
It was just surprising. Like, wow. And it didn't seem to bother him. He'd just go wash it off and come back next day for more.
Yeah.
You'd think that would drain you at some point, wouldn't you?
You would think that.
Of course, your body replenishes.
Quickly.
Yeah. So, anyway, you need to tell your doctor next time he gives you your blood thinner prescription to cut it back a little bit because it really bleeds when you cut
something. I'm not on blood thinner!
Yes. This is the Christmas episode. Merry Christmas and happy Gatoring from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jen's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Dr. Ferd's Mail Enhancement. Count on Dr. Ferd to deliver the mail. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes, because there aren't any. Merry Christmas!